What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. To our engineers, I just need you all to know that wire came out and I walked across. We need to tape that down a little more for me. Technology is a great thing when it works. It's a headache when it doesn't, though. So let me just say to those persons online with us that we apologize for any inconvenience that has been caused as a result of you trying to get on board and be with us in worship on today. We're trying our best to make that happen. I am what y'all call that when something out of place and it just messes with you. What's that called? Oh, see what? That's what I am. Yeah, this screen ain't working. I'm messing, y'all. It's messing with me. Amen. So you all, we gonna get through it. Amen. I wanna ask us to go back to that song that we just finished singing right on the front end. I want us to sense really what God's trying to tell us and say to us today. He's everything to me.
Say everything. To me.
I want you to hear me for a moment. This really doesn't mean a whole lot. until you find yourself having done everything you could do. And though you tried to do everything you couldn't make it work. And all of a sudden, the Lord steps right in, makes a way out of no way, opens doors for you that you've been trying to open all this time. He'll make you throw up your hands and say, "You're everything to me, God. You're everything to me. I've been trying to make it on my own, but you're everything to me, God. You're everything. You're everything to me, God. You're everything to me. Can you testify today? He's everything to you. Hallelujah. I tried this, I tried that, but I've come to find out you're everything to me. Hallelujah. Everything to me. Put your hands together, give God the best praise you can, if you will. Hallelujah. If you're able, wherever you are, just stand with me. Just stand with me. If you're able, if you'd stand with me for a moment. Go ahead and get your Bibles in your hands or on your smart devices, whatever that might be that you have your Word of God on. I want to do the Bible Creed today. I want to do the Bible Creed. Mother, so good to see you, Mom. God bless you. I want to do the Bible Creed today. I want to make sure that we set in the atmosphere what this Bible means to us. Amen. Got your Bible? All right. Lift that Bible high unto the Lord. For those of you who are visiting with us on today, you might be able to join in with us via the monitors. All over the church, let's go. This is my Bible. It's the lamp unto my feet. It's a light unto my pathway. The grass may wither, flower may fade, but the word of the Lord shall stand forever. When I open my Bible, God opens his mouth. When I close my Bible, God closes his mouth. When I live in it and abide by it, I shall live life at its best. Pastor, we are ready for the word. Preach the word. I'm going to ask you to remain standing. Let's go right to the word of God. I want you to go to the book of Acts. The book of Acts. The book of Acts. I want you to look with me in Acts chapter 2. Book of Acts chapter 2. And I want you to focus in on verse 42, if you will. Wow. Sister Shalandia's son just walked in the house today. Bless you, man. Wow. Man, you are a sight for sore eyes, brother. Good to see you, Mike. Bless you. For those of you who do not know, that young man's mom was our minister of music for many of years. And the Lord decided to take her home. And she's in heaven resting now, directing that choir and giving instructions. Mike, it's good to see you, son. Good to see you. Elaine, good to have you in the building today. God bless you, sweetie. Bless you. All right. I'm going to want you to look with me in Acts chapter 2, verse 42. I want to zero in right there on that verse today. That's where our focus will be. And here's what it says in Acts chapter 2, verse 42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers. Y'all see it? Veronica says, and they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. I've been teaching this particular subject matter regarding the church because the enemy is trying to make you and I believe that the church is irrelevant. There are those of you who believe that even coming to church and being in church is an exercise of futility. And so I have been intentionally laying before you biblical truth, Stephen, regarding the reason why you need the church. I want to stop you from running to the church in the end and get you to do it in the beginning. So today, I want to talk about the church created to pray. The church created to what?
Pray.
I knew your response was going to be like that, so you might be seated in the presence of God. It is our custom, Sean, that we in fact would keep our Bibles open. It's my responsibility to at least say something to you in regards to the text that I've lifted before you. In Acts chapter 2, it's a good time for us to start outlining. In Acts chapter 2, it describes for us the creation of the church, and it does it in three episodes. So if you really want to know how the church began, and how it started out. Sister Judy, it started out in the book of Acts. It's called Acts of the Apostles. In Acts chapter 2, you're going to see three episodes there. The first episode we see is the Holy Spirit coming upon the followers of Christ in Jerusalem, equipping them with the ability to convey the gospel in different languages as seen in Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 13. That's the first episode. The first episode is seen in Acts 2, verses 1 through 13. The second episode is seen in Acts 2, verses 14 through 36. It's there that we see Peter giving a public declaration utilizing the Old Testament prophecy to show that Jesus was the long-awaited Messiah and that he was approved of God. That's in Acts 2, verses 14 through 36. The third episode that we see is located in Acts chapter 2, verse 37 through 47. It was there where people started believing. They repented. They trusted Jesus to forgive their sins, and they agreed to be baptized as a public sign that they are now followers of Christ. Now, from these three episodes, whether it's Acts 2, verses 1 through 13, whether it's Acts 2, verses 14 through 36, or whether it's Acts 2, verses 37 through 47, y'all, it's there that we see these episodes where the church is born. This is the birthday of the church. And it's at this point that which has been created is called the church, which now has experienced this influx of at least 3,000 people in a single day. Now, they've believed, they've repented, they've been baptized, and one would have thought that they would have left Jerusalem and returned back to their prospective homes. I mean, come on. They have seen, they have heard, they have witnessed, they have believed, they've repented, and they've been baptized. And you would have thought that they would have left Jerusalem and returned back to their prospective land. But they did not. Many of them decided to stay in Jerusalem so that they could learn more about Jesus and be a part of the institution that we now call the church. And the Bible says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Now, it's here, when we look at that verse that's seen in our text, it's there that we see four areas as focus for the early church. Four areas for the local church. It's right there in verse 42. And they continue steadfast in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Right there, when you look at that passage, there are four areas of focus for the early church. How many areas, class? There are four. They are, number one, the study of God's word. So may I suggest to you that if nothing else, the church ought to at least be teaching us the word of God. Amen. It says, and they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. So number one is the study of God's word. Number two is fellowship among each other. Number three is the breaking of bread. Number four is prayer. Deacon Shalandas, for the sake of our sermonic presentation today, I want to focus on the area of prayer. Here's why. Because I believe the church has abandoned the priority of prayer as the early church's example, and it has rendered us weak and impotent. I'll say it again for you. I want to come back and get you again. I believe the church has abandoned this priority of the early church's example and has rendered us weak and impotent. It's important to know, you all, that prayer works not merely because of the words we say or the promises we claim or the faith we express. Prayer works because God hears and answers prayers. I'll come back and get you again. I said, you all, prayer works. That was one half of y'all. I tried on this side. I said, prayer works. Let me see if I can do this. Y'all, has anybody in here ever prayed and God showed up when you needed him? Now be careful, because if you don't testify about him showing up in the past, he might not show up in the future for you. So I'm going to do it one more time. Is there anybody up in here who's ever prayed for God to show up and make a way out of no way, and God showed up? Prayer works because God hears and he answers prayer. Prayer is dust dialoguing with divinity. Oof, man. Y'all push the rewind button, please. Let me do it again. I said prayer is dust dialoguing with divinity. I like how you said it, Ricky, because I try to be nice and polite, but Ricky said it's dirt that's dialoguing with divinity. Just in case you've got your nose stuck up in the air.
and you really feeling yourself today like you really somebody, may I bust your bubble and tell you, you dust. Now don't get too happy about me talking about your neighbor, because you know your neighbor could lean over and tell you, you ain't nothing but dust. That's all we are. And in case you don't know it, dust you are, and dust you're going to return. I wish I had some Bible readers in here today. So prayer is dust, us, dialoguing with divinity, that's God. Okay, let me give you this one. How about when we work, we work. But when we pray, God works. I need you to go ahead and put it in your notes, take it down, take a picture of it on the screen. When we work, we work. But when we pray, God works. When we work. But whenever we start praying, God starts working. See, y'all, prayer was designed to be a dialogue where we talk to God and we wait on God to talk to us. It ought to be like two good friends having a conversation. I don't think anybody would argue the fact that prayer played a vital role in the early church. It's clear that God intended for the church to be both, intended prayer to be both practiced and promoted. He intended that, you all. He intended that. God intended for prayer to be both practiced and promoted. Jews do it. Muslims do it. Hindus do it. Buddhists do it. Pagans do it. Heathens do it. Christians do it. Everybody does it. Yo, it's clear that prayer is something that God designed to be practiced and promoted. There's nothing more common among humanity, no human activity more universal, and yet none more mysterious, misunderstood, and non-involved than prayer. Y'all, since the beginning of time and the advent of recorded history, the religious expression of prayer has been found in every culture and every period of our lives. Y'all, it was in the crib as a child where many of us was introduced to praying. Y'all remember reciting the prayer, "Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. His love be with me through the night and wake me with the morning light." Or if you like Ricky, you went right to, "If I die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take." Yo, it was God intended that prayer be both practiced and promoted. Not only was prayer practiced and promoted at home, but it was also practiced and promoted in church throughout the worship service. Some of y'all will remember when we used to have devotion service. Before the worship would get started, deacons would strike up a song, and one of the deacons would go to praying. They would say something like this: "Lord, I come to you, knee bent and body bowed. Lord, I thank you that last night's lying down was not my cooling board or my winding sheet." They'd say something like, "Thank you that you kept me when I didn't have enough sense to keep myself." Old deacon would say something like this: "Lord, thank you for letting me see a day I've never seen before and I'll never see again." That old deacon would start praying, "Thank you that you've never left me. Thank you, Lord, that you told me, you made sure that I in fact knew it was you who brought me. And Lord, if they don't tell you thank you, I've come today to tell you I'm much obliged." That old deacon would pray, "Thank you for how you wrapped your loving arms around me. Thank you for how you regulated and kept me in my right mind. Thank you the food on my table. Thank you for the clothes on my back. Lord, thank you for the roof over my head. I want to thank you, God, that you've been my leaning post. Thank you, God, that you've been a bridge over troubled waters. You've been my doctor in a sick room. You've been a lawyer in a courtroom. That deacon would pray. Ooh, child. And heaven would come down. Because prayer was designed to be practiced and promoted. Come on, y'all. Y'all remember in school, we learned how to pray the Lord's Prayer. Now, mind you, it's not really the Lord's Prayer. It's the model prayer. That's how it really ought to be called. It's the model what? Prayer. The model prayer. And it's where we learned, y'all, the model prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven. One of the most scariest times, one is when I'm doing a funeral, and I have all kind of folk at the funeral, and I said, now we're going to bow our heads and repeat the model prayer that's commonly known as the Lord's Prayer. And I be hoping, Lord, let these folk know this prayer. Because, you know, I get to do funerals of people who ain't never been in church before. And sometimes, you know, my street boys will call me to come and do funerals, and I have them to bow their heads, and we would do the model prayer. But how many of us know that we learned how to pray that prayer? We know it by heart. Come on, class, come on. Come on, y'all. We know it by heart. By heart. How it go, y'all? How it go? Our Father. Give us. Some of y'all ain't prayed in a long time. But we know it. Or at least we are familiar with it. Not only do we pray in devotion, pray in church and in school and at home, but y'all may remember, y'all, we used to have what's called the altar prayer. Altar call. People would come and to the altar and pray. Would come to the altar, cast their cares unto the Lord. We even had prayer, y'all, where it was practiced and promoted in our songs that we would sing. Hey, Mikey, it was kind of like songs like Just a Little Talk with Jesus. Y'all remember that? I mean, y'all. Just let us now have a little talk with Jesus. Tell him all about our troubles. Hear our faintest cry. Answer by and by. Feel a little prayer will. Know a little fire is. Have a little talk with Jesus makes everything all right. Or how about the hymn for you hymn lovers? What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege it is to carry everything to God. And what? Y'all, during the week in church, we used to have what was called prayer meeting. But because of low attendance, we combined prayer meeting with Bible study. Hell to hell, we couldn't get the membership to pray as they ought, so we combined them. But God intended for the church to practice prayer. Caroline, I'm convinced that we've got to go back to the basics. Push the rewind button. I said, Carolina, I am convinced that we have to go back to the basics of what God laid out for us as a church. I want to suggest to you as an individual that no matter whether you are a member of a church or not, I want to suggest to you that we've got to go back to the basics of what God laid out for us as individuals and as a church. He called us to pray. If you had to summarize my sermon in one sentence, just put this down. He called us to pray. Not trying to be deep or profound. I want to give it to you where you can get it. He called us to pray. Would you help me preach today? The person sitting next to you probably know you, so just go ahead and tell him, he's called us to pray. Yo, he's calling us to make praying an ongoing reality in our lives. A failure to pray is a precursor to failure in every area. A failure to pray is a precursor to failure in every area. To limit prayer is to consequently limit our possibilities. To limit prayer in the life of our church is to limit our power. To limit prayer is to limit our fruitfulness. To limit prayer is to limit our effectiveness. To limit prayer is to limit our blessings from God. To decide to do anything with Jesus' name attached to it without talking to Jesus about it is a recipe for disaster. To decide to do anything with Jesus' name attached to it without talking to Jesus about it is a recipe for disaster. And whether you know it or not, your life got Jesus stamped all over it. You were created by God for the purpose of God, to be used of God. Therefore, if you want to know what you ought to be doing with your own life, you've got to take the time and talk to the one who made you. Am I talking to folk who can testify, hey, pastor, stuff ain't going right for me. My life has been on a merry-go-round. And every time I get one thing right, something else busts loose on the other side. May I suggest to you that what you need to do is stop talking to each other, stop talking to social media, and go to talking to God, because it was God who made you. Y'all, to decide to do anything with Jesus' name attached to it without talking to Jesus about it is a recipe for disaster. Y'all, to think that you can do God's work without even ever taking time to talk to the Lord is absolutely insane on our part. To think that you can live your life without consulting with God, y'all, through prayer is absolutely insane. Now, I want to just drop this on y'all real quickly. God's been trying to talk to a whole lot of you all, but he can't get your attention. Hear me? God's trying to speak to a whole lot of us, but he cannot get our attention. May I suggest to you that maybe you ought to answer him while he is subtly trying to get your attention, rather than him having to cause something to make you drop to your knees and call upon him. Now, in case y'all didn't notice, hey, Eddie, in case you didn't notice, God will send circumstances your way just to get your attention. God will send circumstances just to get your attention. Preach, pastor, I'm doing the best I can. He'll make your money dry up. You know why? Because he knows it's going to get your attention. Because if the truth be told, y'all, most of us, many of us, if not all of us, love us some money. Wrong crowd. Lies and garbage. I got the right crowd. Y'all, let's be truthful. Y'all, Bible didn't say, you know, that you should not, you know, want money. No. The problem is, y'all, we make money our priority. And so what God will do, God will make your stuff dry up. He'll make your job shut down when you thought you had job security. He'll turn right around and make you go through your 401k and spend all of your money that you had in retirement, and then you look out and it's gone. It's gone. You know why? He's trying to get your attention. He'll send a pain your way. Y'all ain't hearing me. He'll send a pain your way. Now, I wish I had time to linger here, but I don't, y'all. I don't have time. But let me just tell y'all this. Y'all, sometimes pains come physically, but ain't nothing like an emotional pain. Somebody that you love breaks your heart. Anybody ever been there? Somebody that you gave your all to, but then they turn around and treat you like some common criminal when you have loved them all your life, helped them, been there for them, cried with them, gave your all to them. Am I talking to the right crowd? God will shut some doors on you relationally because he's trying to get your attention. So y'all, it's insane for you to try to live your life without consulting with God through prayer. Let me tell you this. Y'all, it can only happen after prayer. Please put that in your notes. It's going to make sense to you when you get to the end of your road and you have nowhere else to go. It can only happen after prayer. I'll say it again for you. It can only happen after prayer. Yeah, we can only preach the sermon right after we pray. We can only sing the song with power after we pray. We can only do ministry effectively after we pray. We can only live life on purpose after we pray. Until we pray. That doesn't matter how skilled you are. It only happens after prayer. It only happens after prayer. Prayer should not be something that we do out of habit and out of tradition, but it ought to be done with intentionality. Because when we work, we work. But when we pray, God works. Y'all, if we're ever going to get the healing, the deliverance, the miracles, the breakthroughs, the strongholds broken, if we're going to ever get our becoming overcomers, if we're ever going to get what we need, we're going to have to go back to calling on the name of the Lord. If we're going to get what we need, we're going to have to go back to calling on the name of the Lord. If we're going to see our children saved, if we're going to see our marriages rekindled, if we're going to see our streets safe again, if we're going to see promotion come from the east and the west, we're going to have to go back to calling on the name of the Lord. We're going to have to pray. Jackie, I could really sit down right here. That's basically it. If we're going to get back to what God has for us, we're going to have to pray. I'm afraid that since the pandemic, we've allowed our relationship with God to become so casual that we don't think we need to pray. Some of us have gotten so grown now. We 3 times 7 plus, we've gotten grown, and we don't think we need to pray. We've gotten comfortable with our living in the suburbs and having our single family homes, comfortable living in gated communities. We've gotten comfortable, y'all, with our townhouses and our apartments in the inner city. We've gotten comfortable being able to ride our bikes in bike lanes. We've gotten comfortable hiding behind others, that we've neglected the use of the one tool that gives us power, called prayer. I've come today to tell you that the enemy will make you believe that your role is to be a spectator of worship and not a participant of worship. The enemy will make you believe that you don't have to do this any longer. You have arrived. The enemy will make you believe that you don't need to raise your children with the covers of prayer. The enemy will make you believe that you can enter into that relationship and go into marriage without prayer. Where's little Sam? There you go. Okay, little Sam. When little Sam then came to me and said they wanted to get married, he and Crystal said, "We want to get married. So I got 3 questions for you. 3. I gave him 3 questions. 3. How many did I give you, Sam? 3. Say it again, Sam. 3. 3 questions. How many questions did I give him, y'all?
3.
Here's the first one. First question that they got to ask. I don't care who you are. You walk into my office, tell me we're going to get married. You got 3 questions you're going to have to answer. 3. What's the first question? Y'all remember it? No? It's all right. They ain't got to remember. I remember. let me tell y'all, here's the question that I was trying to get to, is that, have you consulted God about your mate? And what has God said? That's question what? Have you consulted God? Here's the last question. Y'all get ready for this one. Here's the last one. I asked them, what will it take to make you walk away from your mate? Remember what that was saying? Remember that one? I would tell what your answers were, but I'm not going to tell what you said. What would it take? What would it take? Those three questions. Right? You got to have. The answer to that last question? What's the answer, Crystal? Nothing. I already got y'all. Y'all already messed up. Negro, did you say nothing? See, if you walk into the relationship, Ed, already focused on what it's going to take for you to walk out, let me help y'all, then you don't need to even go in the relationship, because the devil said, that's all I needed to know. See, our love for our spouses ought to be like Christ's love for the church. How is that love, Pastor? I'm glad you asked. It's unconditionally. Which means then that if nothing can separate me from the love of God, then nothing ought to be able to separate me from my spouse. If I'm loving them like Christ loved the church. Now let me help y'all, because y'all, I've lost y'all right there, but I want y'all to understand something. You cannot expect to get the results of God and not do what God prescribes.
Man, I gotta quit, but I probably why I went there. Because some of y'all already done determined I'm leaving. I'm about it here. And I'm telling y'all, Lady Cynthia and I have been married 39 years. Now let me help y'all. Let me help y'all. She ain't been married to me because I'm perfect. I'm almost, but you know. Yo, she didn't stay married to me because, y'all, we agree on everything. She's not stayed married to me because I've not violated our covenant. Please hear me today. But we stayed married to each other because we understood the covenant we made to God, that for better or for worse, for richer or for poorer, y'all, through death. So now when she says, I'm leaving you, I ask her, where are we going? Because I'm going with you. Y'all ain't hearing me. She'll tell you, I tell her, hey, babe, where are we going? She go to packing. I said, well, go ahead and just start packing my stuff too, because I'm going with you. Put mine in the suitcase too, because I'm going with you. Y'all, I'm 61 years old. I ain't no fool. Now, how I got here was I was telling you all that some of us enter into relationships without consulting God. When the last time you prayed and just said, hey, God, you want me to go here? When the last time y'all prayed and asked God, God, is this business deal for me? When the last time you prayed and asked God, is this the job where you want me to be? When the last time you prayed and said, hey, God, is this where you've made provisions for me? Is this the man for me? Is this the woman for me? Because y'all waste too much energy fussing and fighting when you can avoid being so overly exhausted by just simply asking God, God, where do you want me? Where do you want me? What do you want me to do? Where am I supposed to be? God, what do you want from me? Hey, God, should I take this route? Or should I go another way? God, should I, in fact, lean on this side? Or should I go the other way? I'm trying to get y'all to understand that God said, I've been doing my best to ask you to talk to me so I can guide you. Trust in the Lord. And in all thy ways acknowledge him and watch him direct your path. Are y'all hearing me? Okay. All right. No, I gotta quit. I done veered so far from my sermon until I needed to help somebody. To help somebody. Yeah. You've got to talk to God.
I'll do this later. Let me walk through this a little more. Let me walk through this. Listen, when you talk to God, God will also tell you when your behind is wrong. Now, I told you, I got 39 years in this, 39 years. So, you know, I done said some stuff. I mean, I done said, y'all know I'm a take charge kind of guy. So, you know, I done said some stuff. I've said some stuff to Cynthia that even I had to take a pause and say, Negro, please, are you crazy? But let me help y'all with this. When I sit down, and all God always will take a tape and replay it in my mind. Am I talking to the right crowd? He'll replay some stuff in your mind. And then the next thing you know, you feel a sense of conviction that comes over you that I shouldn't have said what I said. Wish I had the right crowd. I should have answered you like I answered you. I should not have taken the position I took. I'm trying to get y'all to see that when you consult God about your situations, the Holy Spirit will do what you need done. Now let me help y'all with this, because y'all don't understand this. People who correct you love you. Man, I just said something major. It ain't even in my notes. I didn't have to write it down. Y'all, I'm gonna just do it again. People who love you corrects you. If you got folk in your life who never corrects you, I need you to ask yourself if they really love you. Because folk that you love, you correct. Now you may say something like this, baby. Now you know mama loves you, but your behind is wrong as two left shoes. You're wrong. The Holy Spirit will correct you. God corrects us. He gives unto us word to correct us. Let me close with this, you all. I was telling y'all about stuff that we remember, we knew, we've memorized. Y'all remember the 23rd Psalm? Yes. 23rd Psalm. I'm not going to ask you to repeat it. But can you do the first line? Yeah. The Lord is my what? Shepherd. And I shall not. Lord. Okay. Does anyone remember the next line? What does it say? He what? He what? He what? He maketh me. You know, y'all, can we just be honest in here? Can we just be honest? That was one half of y'all. The other half said, Negro, don't ask me to be honest. Who in here like to be made to do anything? Sister Baltimore, I'm looking at her laying on your shoulder. Nobody, we don't like to be made to do nothing. Y'all, am I right? Come on, Dickens, I'm ready. Y'all, come on. We don't like to be made to do anything. Y'all, come on. Yeah, preachers and all. We don't like to be made. Do you know why the Lord makes us do stuff? I'm glad you asked me, Tanara. Here's why he makes you do it. Because he loves you so much that he sees where you're headed is going to ruin you. And rather than allowing you to go and bump your head, he will stop you. Make it. God maketh us maketh us. Because you don't have enough sense to stop what you're doing. God wants us to talk to him. Pray.